Good morning.
One of the things that really makes an impression on you when you move from a bigger city to a small town is the quality of the night sky. It is just beautiful. When I was younger, before my grandparents passed away, they lived outside of city limits, outside of Lubbock city limits, and we'd go out there. And I remember there were just some nights as a little kid, I would walk out in the middle of the night and just be blown over in awe and wonder of the universe that surrounds us. And as I've gotten older, really, that wonder hasn't gone away. There are some nights where I go outside of our house and I look up and I was like, man, isn't that amazing? And it really is amazing. The universe is an amazing place filled with amazing things. There's also some reasons why we should be pretty glad that we live here and not anywhere else in the universe. For example, the planet Venus. Because of how slow it turns and because of how slow it goes around the sun, one day on Venus takes 117 Earth days. Think about that. Maybe you remember the storm on Jupiter. Maybe you've seen pictures of Jupiter. There's a big old circle on it. Obviously not as big as the entire planet of Jupiter. Kind of it looks small on that. And yet that circle that we see on Jupiter, that's a storm. And that is a storm that is big enough that you could fit three Earths inside of it. Planet Neptune, the West Texas of our solar system, has wind speeds up to 1,200 miles an hour. We thought Friday was bad. We're pretty glad that we live here. And obviously we're very glad that we live here because this is the planet that has life on it. Now obviously I have not been to any other planet than this one. We as a people have not seen all the planets that there are in this universe. But we are given a pretty good indication that this is the only planet that has life on it. At least in our Bible, it's certainly the only planet that is talked about as having life on it. We read in Genesis chapter 1 that everything was formless and void until God created the earth in Genesis chapter 1. Now, it does specifically say that the earth was formless and void, but everything was. There was no lights in the skies at this time. There was no sun or anything like that. So we see that within this realm, this earthly realm, there was no creation before what we read in Genesis chapter 1. We see God creating the stars and the other heavenly bodies in Genesis chapter 1. But it does not say that he did so to support other life, but it was for signs and seasons for us to view from here. In Genesis chapter 1, we are told about one person being created in the image of God in Genesis 1 and chapter 20, Genesis 1 and verse 26, and that one person was Adam. And we see that after God created the earth and all that he says that he created are surrounding the earth within Genesis chapter 1, we see that he rested. He did not create anything else after that. God came to this earth in the flesh, in the form of Jesus Christ. He was crucified here. He was not crucified anywhere else. That's a once in creation thing. He only did that one time. He did not go to any other planet and do it. And the message of salvation is here on this planet. And I even bring these things up because decay is not something that stops here on our planet. Decay and ultimately if there are other live things outside of this planet, decay and death go outside of this planet. And I do not believe that there are just races of people out there that are doomed to perish because they do not know about the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. Now, obviously, I do not know everything, and nobody here is ever going to know everything. But it does seem that in this very huge universe, which is huge, Earth is special. Earth is the only place that has life in it, and that's an amazing thing to think about, isn't it? Something else that is amazing about that is, I mean, we don't know how many planets are within this universe, but there are a lot of planets that are just never going to experience humanity. There are planets out there that are going to have no human feet ever touch their dust. There are planets out there that have mountains all over it that no human is ever going to see. There are planets out there that have winds that will never be felt by any human. So the question is, why are they there? Why are they there in the first place? Well, part of the reason is God created the heavenly bodies for signs and seasons. We see that in Genesis chapter 1. But also, as we as human beings grow in this ability, as we have throughout our existence, to be able to see more and to experience more and to know more and more of what is out there, you know what ends up happening? If we're honest about things, we end up realizing how very small we are and how very big God is. Because this universe, as big as it is, and it's very big, it's not as big as the God who created it. We see the purpose of the heavens in Psalm 19 and verse 1. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of their hands, of His hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard, but their line has gone out throughout all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. The reason why all of that is out there, the reason why all of this great expanse, this great universe, all of the planets are out there, are just to give glory to God. What do you think we're here to do? This one true God, the only God, the one who created everything that we could see and all the things that we are never going to see, is awesome and mighty and glorious and worthy of all praise. And everywhere that we look, every single place that we look, it becomes more and more and more apparent. And guess what? That is not a secret that we have to keep. The heavens declare the glory of God, and we should too. Now I'm going to take us from the extraterrestrial and bring us to a more terrestrial and familiar story that we know in 1 Samuel chapter 17. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, we have the very simple but amazing story of a man who just did that. He declared the glory of God. You probably remember this story is the story of David and Goliath. And Goliath, the giant, the champion of the Philistines, declared this challenge in verse 8. To the armies of Israel. Why do you come out to draw up in battle array? Am I not the Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will become your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall become our servants and serve us. In verse 10, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And David points out what it is exactly that this Goliath is doing in verse 26. What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God? Goliath was taunting God's armies, and in effect he was taunting God. He was making the implication that God does not deserve to be glorified. He was making the implication that who is the God of Israel? He's nothing special. That is what Goliath was implying by his actions. We're surrounded by the same implication today. There are some that do actually, I don't know, arm themselves against God's people and act like God is not the God in the universe because they fight against His people and all those things. But something that hits even closer to home, there's this implication that God is not important by people who just live like God is not important. Whenever we live this life for any other reason besides God, whenever we think thoughts all day about every other thing except for God, whenever we work and toil and sweat throughout each and every day for every other reason except for God, and sometimes we do it for other people, and that's a good thing, right? That's one of the things that God tells us to do. We are supposed to work hard for others and to love others and to care for others. We're even supposed to care for ourselves up to an extent. But is a people that live every single second of every day thinking about others or themselves, does that reflect a people who realize that the God who created this immense and great universe is the most important thing in it and not we who are just a little speck within it? God is not just important in this life. God is the important thing about life. The important thing about us, the important thing about creation. God is number one. Most important. We read this in Isaiah chapter 66 in verse 1. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house that you could build for me? And where is a place that I may rest? For my hand has made all these things. Thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. And here's what we see in verse 2. But to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. God wants people to realize how great and glorious he is and to tremble at his word. God wants people to realize that he's special. And if we believe that, and you know what, if we go out of these walls and that is what we declare, if that is what we say with our mouths, what we declare with our lives, what's very interesting is that we're actually part of the majority. And we don't always see ourselves as being part of the majority. There may be so many people within this world and people that we know within this life who live life like God is not the most important thing, who do not glorify God in their lives, but the heavens declare the glory of God. Every single star that is out there in that universe, even the ones that we have not seen yet, declares the glory of God. Every single planet that is out there, even the ones that we haven't seen yet, declares the glory of God. The expanse of the universe declares the glory of God. Every storm that comes across this earth declares the glory of God. Every wind, every tree, every grass, every rock, every piece of complexity about this world that we live in, that all declares the glory of God. Again, I ask, what do you think we're here to do? And isn't it neat? We actually get to be the majority, part of the majority. The difference between us and all of creation that declares the glory of God is that we can actually say it. We can actually form those thoughts and produce them out of our mouth. We remember what Goliath said in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 43, as this young David trots up to him. He says, am I a dog that you should come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And he said, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and to the beasts of the field. But this is David's response. This is David's wonderful response in verse 45. You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all of this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. What's very fun to read about this situation is to see that David is really expressing the very sentiment that all of creation surrounding David expresses. There is a God. There is a God. There is a God. Everything about creation says that, and the battle belongs to him. Something that's not secret to us is we all have this very same ability to say what it is that all of creation does not have the words to say. Formulating things into words is a very powerful thing. I mean, you think about it. God spoke the world into existence. And this unique gift that he has given you and I comes with expectations. We are expected to use this gift that he has given us well. We see that we are to speak in truth and love. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25, we see that we are to encourage one another. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14, but we are also to praise this Almighty God who has created us to everybody around us. Psalm 96 and verse 1, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among the people. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Again, creation, the creation that surrounds us, do not have the ability to produce this into words. Psalm 19 and verse 3, there is no speech, nor are there words, and their voice is not heard. And yet we see in verse 4, Their line has gone out throughout all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. All of creation around us that does not have the ability to produce speech still does everything that it can, and I know it cannot produce effort like we produce effort, but yet it does everything that it can to glorify God. There is nothing that holds us back in our ability to do that. The Almighty God of this universe is going to be glorified. Don't we want to be the ones to do that? To say that? To proclaim that? 1 Samuel 17 and verse 49. And David put his hand into his bag, and he took from it a stone, and he slung it, and he struck the Philistine on his forehead, and the stone sank into his forehead so that he fell on his face on the ground. God will be glorified. And you know what? Even if David hadn't been the one to run up and pick up the rock and sling it at him, God will always be glorified. He will always be glorified. It's just that David was not going to let that opportunity pass him. And you know what? David was blessed because of that. He was blessed as being called a man after God's own heart. He was blessed as a king, and he will always and forever be blessed in the memory of God's people who can look at this and say, God will not ever fail us because we represent him and he is going to be glorified. Blessed are we when we say that and proclaim that and stand for that. We read in Isaiah 52 and verse 7, how lovely are the mountains. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. We don't in our lives always have giants to run to try to slay. We don't always have rocks to run to try to pick up and slay those giants. But how lovely are the feet who run and talk about the stone that was rolled away. How lovely are the feet who run to talk about the power and the glory of God. How lovely are the feet who run to talk about the greatness of God and to proclaim how great he is. In this world where feet are so quick to proclaim criticism, so quick to proclaim complaints, and to talk about everything that is bad in the world, how lovely are the feet who say, God is good. This God whose throne are the heavens and the earth is his footstool. Think about that. This God loves us. He has done so much for us. How lovely are the feet that run to the darkest corners that they know and they proclaim that illuminating light. Just like the sun that we read about in Psalm 19 and verse 4. In them he has placed a tent for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. It rejoices as a strong man to run its course. Its rising is from one end of the heavens and its circuit to the other end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The sun travels from one end of the heavens to the other, and I know that the sun doesn't really travel, but it shows from one end to the other, and it makes sure that nothing escapes at least three facts. Number one, God is glorious. Number two, God is good. God is important. Number three, nothing escapes that. Why should we be any different in the sphere that God has put us? Jesus, within the sphere that God put him, you know what he declared to the entire world? The glory of God. And he also declared what was going to be the ultimate revelation of that glory in Matthew chapter 24. He said in Matthew 24 and verse 27, for just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather, but immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all of the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. When we read this, this is something that is so hard to grasp. So hard to imagine. I mean, we are talking about the power of the God who, again, whose throne is the heavens, whose feet rest on the earth, coming down in the form of his Son again to this earth, Can you imagine that? The answer is no, we can't. We can't even imagine that. And what we see again in verse 27 is just like lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so is his going to be his coming. That means that nothing is going to miss it. From east to west, people are going to know when Jesus comes. From east to west, people who have thought that Jesus, that God is not the most important thing about their life, are going to find out that they're wrong. But I think that east and west extends even greater than that. I believe that every star, every planet, every created thing within this universe, from east to west of the entire universe, is going to know the Son of God has come again. That trumpet is going to resound throughout everything. The Savior has come and He is bringing with Him new heavens and new earth. How lovely are the feet that proclaim that good news. How lovely are the mouths that say, "Glory to God in the highest." How lovely are the mouths that say, "The battle is the Lord's." How lovely are the mouths that say, "You know what is really important about life? God is. There's nothing holding us back." And to you this morning, there's nothing holding you back from answering the question, this day when Jesus is coming, am I ready for that day? Well, the God of the universe, who has created everything in the universe, has said that those who are saved through His Son and who live their lives for Him, they will be ready. If you still need to take the first step in doing that today, if you need to be baptized in His name, please come forward while we stand and as we sing.